against them. I think they've kind of figured out that they've kind of lost the marriage war, you know, and they've kind of figured out that, you know, gays and lesbians will always be with us, but trans folk, no, we can attack them. That's the attitude.
We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I was pointing out that when it comes to social conservative issues, trans folks are, you know, to quote myself, that a bit of a soft target. You know, the abortion debate is broadly very much settled in Canada, and I think that there is no appetite to crack that open. And Poilievre has also been avoiding discussing a lot of the culture war topics, such as immigration, that is in the States. But trans folks, easy pickings. You know, we've got Scott Moe in Saskatchewan with the notwithstanding clause use against trans kids in schools. Same out in New Brunswick. You know, these are, you know, easy political wins for conservative parties targeting what is essentially just youth. There was a study that came out looking at access to trans healthcare in Canada. This study came out just this week, and only about 25% of trans folks indicated that they actually have any kind of access in a timely fashion to healthcare. You know, it's interesting that you go all the way back to the Ethiopian eunuch and you know, being needed to be persuaded that they're not unclean. And you fast forward 2023 years and then boom, it's the same issue. You know, do we have to teach folks that trans folks and kids, you know, you can, you know, not touch them. That's not what I'm saying. You know what I mean? They're not unclean.
And I have to point out that all of this is illegal under Canadian law. That's why Scott Moe had to bring in the nuclear option, the notwithstanding clause, because, I mean, in 2012, and I was the Pride Grand Marshal that year, I passed the first, it's called Toby's Law, after our then music director who was trans and had died of an overdose. So Toby's Law, which added trans rights to the Ontario Human Rights Code, and that was the first major jurisdiction in North America to do that. And since then, it went from province to province to province, and then it became federal. So these, you know, trans folk are protected under our human rights, and that means they should get actual, you know, equal access to law, you know, legal services, to health services, to educational services. Of course, we know they don't, because it's not being enforced well. And we're hearing all sorts of horror stories. But I mean, you know, they have to go, you know, the province, the premiers like Scott have to go nuclear to overturn it. And the fact that they're willing to do that is terrifying, mm-hmm. is absolutely terrifying. For what? For a very, very small statistically group in our population. But this is, you know, this is, I keep using the F word, but you know, this is fascism 101. This is, you find a group that people are, you know, aren't educated about and have all sorts of superstitions around, and you target them and you get everybody on board. We can all hate them, right? And then you move on from there. Because guess what? Queer folk out there, not going to stop there.
It won't stop with trans kids.
You know, and it's not going to stop with trans folk. It's going to come find you next, right? Because, I mean, they're not happy that we won, you know, equal marriage. They're not happy that people can get jobs and not get fired. You know, they will find you. And all of those conservative, you know, queer folk who are presumably out now, you know, I mean, are they really safe? I don't think they are. And so this is the times we live in. And I think that's what's so important to be, if you're out there and listening, good allies.
You know, when we were preparing for this interview, Sebastian asked me a question, and it's a head scratcher. So he was asking, the question was, why is it that Christianity has the reputation of being the most homophobic religion? You know, I think there's this perception of it.
Oh,
and
it's not.
Especially to queer folks. And, you know, I don't think it is, you know, not, you know, yeah. I imagine it's probably more out there.
I mean, in fact, I would argue it's probably the most inclusive, only because it's so big, you know, in part. So you've got a wing of Christianity that has become inclusive, I think truly Christian, personally, over the years. I mean, so we've been ordaining women, for example, in the United Church since the 1930s. You know, many churches, the Roman Catholic Church in particular, has moved that marker. So there's lots of, but I mean, if you look at Islam, if you look at Judaism, again, there's, as far as I know, because they in part started in my churches, Unity Mosque is the only totally inclusive mosque that I'm aware of, where women actually are imamas and actually lead worship, where men and women sit together. Fareen Khan started the Woman's Mosque in our church here at Trinity St. Paul's, which is an all-women's mosque, but she started it because she felt that, you know, women needed a safe space. Right at the corner at the Jewish Community Center, the Shir LaBenu Synagogue was the first inclusive synagogue under Aviva Goldberg, wonderful woman, has been on my show a lot. She's retired now. We have another cantor there. But again, they're worshiping here now for their high holy days. And now there are a number of reform, you know, inclusive synagogues around the city. So, I mean, you're seeing people moving. And even in Buddhism, again, you see inclusive aspects of Buddhism as practiced in the West in particular. I've had the good fortune of meeting with the Dalai Lama a few times. And at one of his talks, he said, you know, maybe the next, you know, Dalai Lama should be a woman, you know. So, but again, you're talking about faiths that are a couple of thousand years kicking around, you know, or in Judaism, you know, the oldest of, you know, one of the oldest next to Hinduism and the Vedic scriptures. So, I mean, these are faiths that have been around a long time. So, and we've, patriarchy's been around a long time. So bit by bit, as patriarchy shifts, as culture shifts, you get these shifts, but certainly we're at the cutting edge, at parts of us, you know. And but I think the perception of the Christian right has gained a lot of media because they have a lot of money, and the backing behind them has nothing to do with religion. The backing behind them has to do with political power, and so you have to kind of keep your religion and state separate a little bit. And, you know, state is very happy to use religion for its ends. But honestly, when I was in politics, I traveled all through the states, visiting various state representatives and governors and stuff. And I can tell you in all the southern states, I looked for two markers against, at that point, the Iraq War and pro same-sex marriage for a church that I would go worship in. I always found one that was busy, that was full, that was mainline. So they do exist. They just don't get the press, and they don't have the backing of the Republican Party and all of the money that backs the Republican Party, right?
I think what you're saying there about, you know, they don't get the press really sort of lands on where I landed on that question. I think that for folks who are looking to explore their faith, and all you see is, you know, governments dragging their heels on conversion therapy and people saying, oh, we shouldn't ban conversion therapy, which was an actual conversation here in Canada, religious groups in Canada advocating against
that. Hey, it was my bill that banned it for the first time in Canada.
Absolutely.
In 2015. And that came from the trans community, by the way, that call. Mm-hmm. Trans community. So, I mean, it is banned here and it is banned across the country, but again, not enforced, right? Like, I'm still hearing stories of it going on. So, didn't mean to interrupt.
I think my point sort of circles around to, it's hard to feel welcome when a lot of the news you see is not particularly welcoming. So my last question for you then is, for folks who are, you know, it's Christmas time, for folks who are thinking about how they evolve and how they might want to explore faith, what advice would you give them
look for the pride flag. Yeah, look for the pride flag flying outside the church. If you don't see it, don't go in. Our Christmas Eve service, our poster, which we haven't posted around and about yet, but it will be on social media somewhere. In fact, I should put it up soon. is of a Black Madonna and Child with a rainbow, colors behind them in halo form, saying worship inclusively this Christmas. I mean, that's not unusual. We've done that for years, right? So look for the pride flag, just like you do for any other business or anything else you want to, frequent. Look for an inclusive space. They exist all over the place. And if the church you're going to isn't that, walk across the street and find another one. I mean, it's really that simple. Or if the synagogue or if the mosque, it's the demand of the people in the pews, just like has happened in the Roman church. This is what's going to change, the leadership. It's going to be the demand from the folk that go there and say, I can't go along with this anymore. And I think we're seeing that. We're certainly seeing it in North America, but I think we're seeing it internationally too.
Well, I want to thank you so much for our conversation. It has been a busy year for folks of faith, both globally and, of course, also in Canada. Lots of things going on there. For folks who want to find out more, don't forget to catch the Radical Reverend out of CIUT-FM, where Sherry DeNovo interviews truly incredible people. Your roster of guests certainly puts me to shame. So thank you again so much for your time today.
No problem. And come and visit us at Trinity St. Paul's, Spadina and Bloor.
Feel like seconds when you're next to me.
I put on the coffee smell across the kitchen table while you sing those pretty songs to me.
Welcome back to CAGWI, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And during that interview, I mentioned that you were indisposed. We have undisposed you. Yes. Very glad to have you joining us. Mm-hmm. You also just heard Living in Love by Jess Ray. There is a plan. You know how much we love plans and guidelines.
A plan?
If every time I see a plan, a strategy, a report,
yes.
Generally speaking, just documentation, we are always big fans of that. The New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene has issued guidance on how they are hoping, I mean, they're really, really quite ambitious here, okay. To effectively remove or wipe out sexually transmitted infections amongst gay and bisexual men.
Okay. How are they going to accomplish that? That's a tall order. Especially since there's quite a few that go dormant for years on end. Most famously, syphilis. You can catch syphilis and have zero symptoms until, was it like 1 to 40 years later? Like, there are some wild diseases out there.
They released the document. It's a lovely document. It's only 5 pages. I you know, but it is what it is. So they have a plan to use, oh my gosh, I'm going to maybe butcher the pronunciation of this, doxycycline post-exposure prophylaxis.
Oh, okay.
DoxyPrep. So okay. Doxycycline 200 milligrams has, if you have it within 24 to 72 hours of sex without a condom, it's been shown to significantly the occurrence of syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea amongst cisgendered men who have sex with men and trans women as well. Oh. So they are really just hoping that by rolling out DoxyPrep, doxycycline post-exposure prophylactics, DoxyPrep is how I'm going to just refer to it from now on because it's quite difficult to say as a medical word. But yeah, that's essentially it. They are hoping to make it available as a healthcare measure. You know, if you've gone and had intimate relations, mm-hmm. we shall use that phrase.
A
night of indiscretion.
With a gentleman caller.
With, yes, we're all of the euphemisms. But after your indiscreet evening with a gentleman caller, as long as in the next 1 to 3 days you find an appropriate pharmacy or healthcare provider and get access to DoxyPrep, they believe, going to be a huge, effective tool to drop the overall rate of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. Now, will this solve and cure the problem? Probably not. Yeah. But what I think they're banking on is if enough people take this medication once they've been exposed to it by exposing themselves, then they will stop the sort of incidence rates of it. If there are less people marauding around, you're right, they aren't lesser people just because they have gonorrhea. If there are fewer people marauding around with gonorrhea, then fewer people are likely to catch it. And slowly, eventually, we can kind of, you know, have that trending downwards towards zero.
Yeah, those diseases are all bacterial. And bacterial diseases, their transmission is kind of funny that way. Like bacterial infections, actually fungal infections as well, are really weird in that sometimes you just fight off. Like there could be some deadly flesh-eating bacteria that you just lick right off a lollipop and nothing happens to you. And if you can drop the exposure, then just the randomness, the noise of how many people get exposed to something and catch nothing, that alone will sort of overtake the spread, and the overall number will shrink over time. Even if only, let's say half of the population is very compliant with it, that's enough to make a downward slope. Not a strong downward slope as everyone taking it, but you'll get a downward slope.
I mean, it also, I think, will help with what has been coined super gonorrhea, which is gonorrhea with a cape. But no, it's a antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea. It's a major issue and has emerged in a few isolated cases here and there. Mm-hmm. But if the prevalence overall in the community if gonorrhea goes down, then the chances of a super gonorrhea also go down with it, or rather antibacterial resistant strain of gonorrhea will also go down with it. Now, the CDC rolled out a proposal in 2023 in October. I believe we mentioned it in October. As far as I'm aware, right now, Health Canada has not rolled out similar guidance yet in Canada. However, the New York City Health Department, I think, is the first one now to look at the use of doxycycline post-exposure prophylactics, or DoxyPEP, as an effective tool here. So we'll keep an eye out. Will this be the end of super gonorrhea? We shall see. In other news, individual who committed one of the most horrific mass murders against LGBT folks at the Club Q in Colorado Springs back in November 2022 has pled guilty to 74 charges and 74 charges, sorry, of which are 50 federal hate crimes and 24 firearms violations. Now, this individual, I'm not going to name him, was potentially facing the death sentence, but in a plea agreement, that will not be the case. He is likely to serve I think he has multiple concurrent life sentences and another 190-year prison sentence on top of that. That's always boggled my mind about the United States. You're sentenced to prison for 5 billion years, and it's like, okay, well, I'm not a vampire. Like, that's.
I mean, I was going to say eggs on their face if they're a chupacabra.
This is true. This is true. But he essentially pled guilty. I'm on the fence here. What the crime he committed was utterly horrific. 5 people were killed and 19 people were injured in this
shooting. Gravely injured,
absolutely horrific. It was hate motivated. But by pleading guilty, it's not, these things are going to be dragged out in court. The families are sort of spared that. And I think he gets to keep his life. That seems to be the bargain that has been brokered with prosecutors. So yeah, pretty big day on in terms of the justice on that front. What about yourself? Have you seen anything coming up in the world of news?
I have, but just a story that we're keeping an eye on that we may come back to in the future. And it's just sort of a larger report on the sort of declining quality of healthcare that a lot of LGBTQ people in Canada are reporting, that there's just a sort of a trend of doctors not really listening to the symptoms and really just saying, oh, you are a whatever, then the problem's there. Like, you're trans, then it must be the hormones you're taking. Oh, you're gay, it must be an STI. But we'll get to that in a later week as more information comes in.
I want to mention that Huang Xi, who is a member of the Democratic Progressive Party of Taiwan, has been elected. She is purportedly the first ever openly LGBTQ legislator in Taiwan. Also, we heard some grumblings out of Greece. I think we'd mentioned before that Greece is looking at introducing same-sex marriage, much to the chagrin of the Greek Orthodox Church. However, the official party in power as well now, and this is what came out recently, a statement from the official opposition party, both are agreed on introducing legislation to create same-sex marriage. And then also in Europe this week, big news as 397 European parliamentarians, the Parliament of Europe, with 121 against, passed a motion asking the Council of Europe to introduce legislation around hate crimes and hate speech in Europe. This will need to be drafted, it'll need to be written and created, but essentially some countries in Europe, such as Ireland and a few others, don't have any protections in place against hate speech and hate crimes. And there's been a massive spike in hate speech and hate crimes. Although really, I don't know if they would be hate crimes if they're not criminalized, but you get what I mean, across Europe. So yeah, the EU appears to be gearing up to address that issue across the continent. Lots going on. Mm-hmm. Absolutely lots going on.
Closing out, I have a very fluffy story. Subwoofer has been unmasked.
Oh, the give my wolf a banana.
Yes, the Eurovision duo who did not speak and only sang, and they showed up in masks. It is such a fluffy story, but it was two previous contestants in Eurovision. So it was Gaute Ormosson and from Norway, and Ben Adams from England, who's also in the boy band A1. And they wrote they wrote this goofy song. They couldn't find anyone to perform it for them, and they realized they had to do it themselves. So they taught themselves how to dance.
It was a banger. Like, it was one of my favorite tracks.
And it was so goofy.
It is give that wolf a banana, or give my wolf a banana is it Subwoofer?
Yes, Subwoofer.
Absolutely fantastic band, hilarious. Well, I would like to mention that Ireland has announced their entry to Eurovision. I didn't think I'd mention Eurovision this week, but I am mentioning it this week. And it's, I believe, one of the first non-binary identifying contestants in the Eurovision that is competing and representing Ireland. However, I do believe that we have run out of time.
Oh, have we?
We will be playing out with our last track of the day. So earlier we had Living in Love by Jess Ray. Mm-hmm. And we will be playing out with Too Much by Wave for Mounting. And I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
I'm falling out of step with myself. I'm falling out. Too much.
Eye Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Maybe you're a parent, a family member, employer, a coworker, an educator, a healthcare provider. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.